Well, Hector, first off, thank you very much for joining us. The first obvious question, what is it like playing football in Qatar? What is it like living in Qatar?
Hi, Glenn. How are you? Yeah, it is quite different than what I'm used to, or what I've been used to the last couple of years when I was playing in Europe. Of course, everything, you know, the type of player, the quality of players and everything. But what I found when I came here is still it's an emerging country in the football industry, but they have this goal to be a national team that can compete in the World Cup 2022, you know. So they are making a lot of effort, they are investing a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of everything to make that come true, you know. They had a good experience last year with the Asian Cup, they became champion, and also in the Copa America, they did quite okay, you know. They didn't go through the next round, but they did okay. So that motivated them to continue to this plan they have to be able to compete in the World Cup. So for me, it was like a new experience, totally different what I wanted to say, and with good young quality players and some players, what they're trying to do is like with myself. I don't like to talk about myself, but like with people who can still perform, who can still have the joy and the pleasure to play, you know, like not bringing all players like they used to. I'm not saying it's wrong, but before they bring big names, they bring players who were like big stars, but at the end it was like a kind of retirement. I don't want to say that because it might be get me wrong, but they come more for enjoy and relax and all this kind of thing. Now what they want with us foreign players who are here is like to perform, to show the way that is in Europe, you know, the professionalism, the way you have to treat yourself before, after training and during the game, how you prepare yourself, the way you eat, all these kind of things to make it more professional, the football, you know, because 10 years ago, it was like nothing professional. It was just nothing compared as it is right now. And the life, it's for me, my family, we are now 4 in the family, and it's a great life. I also, when I signed here, the first thing what I asked, it was what it will be for the families to live there, you know, or here. It's like great country to live. It's peaceful, it's quiet, it's relaxed. People don't come at you, just let you live your life on your own way. So that's for me a great thing to have, you know, to have big time with the family, spend some quality time is what I was looking for.
Now, I know you're a model professional. We're talking to Hector Moreno, 3 World Cups with Mexico. Is that part of the reason you're there also? Not only to perform individually, not only to perform for Al Gharafa, but also to mentor and lead some of the younger players?
Yeah, I tried to explain this also a few times when I had the opportunity, you know, when they called me the first time. Of course, they know me as because I've been playing for a long time in Europe. I was lucky enough to play with the national team in 3 World Cups, but they never talked to me about the Hector Moreno on the field. You know, they always talked to me about I don't know how we hear about you. We hear the way you are, the way you behave, the way you are as a professional, and we want that. We want you to just keep being you and help these young players because in Gharafa actually. Especially, we have a very young, talented team for Qatar. So they want these young players to grow with this European professionalism and all these kind of things, you know. So for me, it was like a nice challenge to take. Of course, everything is in the global, you know. It's financially, it was good for my family. It was good, and in this challenge as well in the football, it was quite okay for me.
All right. So you grow up in the state of Sinaloa.
Yes. Culiacan.
The breadbasket of Mexico is what I've heard that area is called. It also produces so many great footballers. Now, what is that about? Is there, you know, you can compare it to Mexico City, maybe even almost, right?
There is a debate now in Mexico because with all these things that happened, like a new club is coming, Mazatlan, you know, it's also in Sinaloa. And it was this debate because I didn't know, but now it's the third state in Mexico, Sinaloa, has the most professional footballers in playing the Liga MX. So that says something, you know, that means like they're working well, or the scouting from the clubs in Ciudad de Mexico, Guadalajara, or whatever, they are focusing or they are going to look into this kind of to these cities, to this state, which is Sinaloa. And I think it's amazing because I came from there when there was not much opportunity. I had I was lucky to that Pumas found me, that Pumas invited me to follow them and to join them. So, but now I think it's more opportunity for everybody, and because the player who did before me and myself, which I did a little bit of something, people are trusting and are believing that Sinaloa is not only for baseball, you know, because like the people think, okay, Sinaloa, they just care about baseball and they don't like football and they don't know how to play football. It's not true. There is a space for everything. They are investing a lot of in the youth, in with the government and everything for the players to develop and to grow in a good way in the football gallery.
All right, we're talking to Hector Moreno, enjoying this interview. All right, so you mentioned Mazatlan. They're going to have a team now, a professional team. You know, so everybody who's listening to the show is going, okay, he better ask him if he's interested in playing for Mazatlan. Is that crossed your mind going back to the state where you grew up?
No, I never. When I just left Culiacan, actually the year I left to Mexico City to play with Pumas in the Fuerzas Básicas, let's say, and the youth, Dorados de Sinaloa came there, you know, with all this plan to be. So after they went to first division and everything, so it was like, for me, it was very nice. And I was still in Mexico, I was still in Pumas, and I thought, okay, it would be nice to play in Culiacán, you know, with my family around, when everybody around it. But actually now it's been only 3 days that it happened in Mazatlán. It never crossed my mind to go back there. And I don't know, I always say that I don't know if I will ever go back to Mexico. It would be nice because I play only, I don't know, a few games, 40 matches, if not less. And not full matches, you know. I was always coming in or going out. I wasn't like a starting 11 or something like this in Pumas until my last 6 months. But I would like to say, you know, but I would lie if I say, okay, yes, I will go back to Mexico, or yes, I will not go back to Mexico. It's not up to me 100%. It's not up to anybody, you know. Like, I have to make a lot of things that make that happen, you know. The club wants me if I want. In the moment that I, who is in my position, of course, and because of what I was thinking, I was a young player, and I don't want to be somebody, of course, if I can perform, I want to play or something, but I don't want to be somebody who can take the spot from someone who can be a top talent or who can be only because I have more experience or something. Of course, I don't want to make, as I always say in the national team, the worst thing I can do is to step away because I want them to play. No, I want to fight so they can still be better and they can still outperform me and they can play before me, you know? That, you know, I don't know if you get my point.
Yeah, I do.
So, yeah. So that's my thinking when I think about going back to Mexico or something. I don't know. I would like to say 100% yes, 100% no, but it's not possible. Yeah.
Look, you're fit. You're still playing the game well. And to tag on to what you just said, when do you know in your mind when it's time to finish what has been a remarkable career, taking you all over the world to 3 World Cups? I mean, I'm reading your bio and looking at things before this interview last night, and I'm going, this is a remarkable story that somebody can achieve this much. And we sometimes take that for granted in the media. But when you look at your career, it is really remarkable, the moments, the things that happened to get you where you are. So back to my original question, which I just got away from, you know, when do you know when it's time? When will you know when it's time?
Thank you for the nice word before. And no, I think my body will know. My mind, I will be set for a fight and to train because I love training. I love going to train every single day to get better, you know. I think that's one of my, I don't know if many, but one of my qualities that I like to go training every day I want to learn something, you know. Sometimes people get me wrong when I say something about when I came to Rome, that I just learned to defend. No, I was trying to mean I was meant I was trying to say that when I came to Rome, I thought I knew how to defend because I had incredible coaches that teach me how to defend. I had Mauricio Pochettino, which was a great defender, and he's a great coach. So when I try to say it's like, even when I'm 29, now I'm 32, I want to learn every single day, and I'm open to learn, and I want to improve, and I want to get better. So that's my point. So when is the time? I think when my body says, okay, you cannot do it anymore, when I wake up in the morning and I feel like it's struggling, or when I feel like this could damage my career after, my life after the career, because I want to be able to play with my kids. I want to be able to have a normal life. So when I feel like this playing with pain or playing with some injuries that I might have from the past will cause that, I think I would say stop, because I think my mind, it will be always open to compete and to train and to work hard to be able to be on my best level. You know, I'm 32 now, but if I have to say now, I would like to play until I'm 40. You know, like I'm eating well, I'm training hard, I'm trying to be like the best professional I can be. So that will help to make it longer my career. So I hope that I can last long and my body take it.
Talking to Hector Moreno. Okay, let's go back to Roma, because the center back position that you play, that you started at 18 with Pumas on your debut to now, it's a position that's changed, it's evolved, right? It's got different, and it got different as you went through Spain, the Netherlands. Tell me about the modern center back now, and how much of the position has really changed throughout your career, if at all.
Yeah, I think a lot. I think since I start, how it's been, the evolution of it. It's good because it with this Guardiola style and this guy who came to change the way of playing football, you know, from I start building up, like the goalkeepers as well, how they change, how they have to be like really good on the feet. Like, it became a really essential part of the football and the style. If you want to play like offensive football, this, you have to have a good defender, good with the ball, you know, like, but don't forget that you are a defender, you know. I think that gets mistaken many times, like, okay, I'm good with the ball, but then I concede 3-4 goals easily, or I'm not good in challenge, I'm not good in tackle. So these kind of things, I think it's been a misunderstanding between those two things. You have to be really good in the ball, like the modern center back, you know, like confident, good long pass, look good between lines pass, or all these kind of things. But also, you don't have to forget that your first goal or your mission is to stop, to prevent the goals, to be able to talk with your teammates, because you are one of the privileged to see the game from the back and to see almost every space that you might have on the other side. So it's very important for me to learn that. What I was told during my whole career, more or less, it was like I wasn't hard enough. I wasn't, you know, I was too soft or too nice to the striker, you know. And I work on that. I try to be, you know, never meant to hurt nobody, never meant to talk to nobody in a bad way. But I was trying to be better, you know, because you see the big center backs, is what they have both, you know, right now. For me, like, Ramos is one of the best, Thiago Silva is one of the best, but because they mix those, they have the quality with the ball, and also when they don't have the ball, they don't care, you know, they just go for it, and if they hurt you, they hurt you, but it's never in a bad way, you know, and never with bad intentions.
So as a center back, how did you grow that part of it, to be a tougher, a little bit more of an intimidator, to bring a little bit of a fear, a healthy fear in a fair way, into the mind of all these great attacking players that you have to play against that have these enormous skills that go all over the place?
Yeah, it's hard because that thing is something natural, but of course you can learn. I try to watch players who have that, you know, the things they do, the thing they, how they behave, how they are, like how they mark their man, or in a corner kick or whatever, when the game is playing on the other side, on the opposite side. Of course, I was lucky enough also to play with Marquez, who had both. Also, you know, Rafa was incredibly talented with the ball, but also without the ball, he had that. You know, he was a, I'm not saying a killer, but he was really tough. You know, when he had to fight for the ball, he didn't care. He just go for it. And so I was lucky to play alongside him, and I learned a lot of things with him. And of course, it was hard because I wasn't like that, but I learned many things, and I cannot tell you the tricks, but Rafa has a few, of course.
You can't tell all of them, that's for sure. Yeah. You can't tell all of them. Listen, being predominantly left-footed, that was an advantage for you, right?
Totally, totally. There are not many left-footers, center-back,
yeah,
and everything, but center-backs are few. And for me, it was always an advantage because also what I was lucky, well, maybe because they found me, they wanted me, I almost always play with the coaches that wanted one right foot and one left foot at center backs, you know? So for me, it was like advantage. We have four center backs in the team, and there are three right foot and one only me, you know? So not for granted. I never took it for granted because they could change any time, but it was like, okay, I have the first option, it's me. If I'm not make mistakes, if I do it well, I will keep playing because these coaches want one right footed, one left footed. So for me, it was like, of course, totally an advantage. And I think that I took it and I make profit of it.
All right. Three World Cups, Hector. Hector Moreno, three World Cups. It's pretty unbelievable. 2010, 14, 18. In fact, you come back after a very serious injury to play in 18 in Russia. Do you ever sit back and just think, I've played in three World Cups? I mean, they're very human beings who play in one, let alone three. Do you recognize how rare your life has been from that perspective to play in three World Cups?
Sometimes when I got asked from like people like you, from journalists or from friends that ask me how is it to play, how it's been to perform in a World Cup for your home country, it's amazing. But I think when I finish, when I stop football and I look back, I will give the value. I will think like, okay, this was huge, you know. Like now, there is no time to stop or to think and to get emotional about that, you know, because it's something amazing for me. I believe, like coming from Culiacán, where everybody thinks like we only like baseball, and going all the way there and play in three World Cups with three different coaches and three different type of players around and everything, it's been amazing, you know. And my goal when I finished it in Russia, of course, it was like a big disappointment and everything. I didn't know if I wanted to play or to compete for a new one, you know, for Qatar. But now I'm 100% sure that I want to be here, because right now I'm in Qatar. I want to be here. I want to be able to give the team what I have, you know. And I say, of course, I want to be on the pitch. I want to be always there. But if not, I have to be humble enough to be helping the team as much as I can do. Even if I only say one line to one teammate, to young guy, one of the many mistakes I made, okay, listen, I did this and it was wrong, so don't do it. So do you want to make one mistake less? So that's my goal, you know, to help the national team to grow and to be able to, hopefully Mexico will be here, and hopefully finally we can reach and we can go through to that fifth game that we in three World Cups I was not able to make it.
Hector Moreno joining us now. Look, everybody can always see the successes; they go right to the successes. But every footballer has disappointments, some more than others. Look, you had a severe injury against the Netherlands in the 2014 World Cup. Was there ever a time mentally you're saying to yourself, you know, is this potentially the end of my career when I'm sitting there with a broken leg? I mean, you know, how much of a mental thing is that? And then to come back from that also, you had to have incredible mental strength.
Yeah, it is. It is hard when it happened, you know, and it is hard because also the stage where we were, it was amazing. It was for us a great opportunity to achieve that. We were fighting while we're talking about, you know, a great game against the Netherlands. I was feeling myself amazing during the World Cup, you know. I was fit, I was confident, I was I felt myself, I was performing. I told you, and I don't like to talk about myself. I hate that, but during it's in the past. So I was feeling that I was in my top level. So this happened, and you don't understand why. You know, like, okay, I'm doing everything right. I'm doing everything what I have to do, and this hit you, you know. And it's hard to accept it. It's hard to take it. But at the end, I had my family who was with me. It was very important to get over. My wife, she was my girlfriend back then, but now she's my wife, and she supported me. She helped me because I became obsessed. You know, like, okay, when I got the surgery, they told me, okay, in 6 months, you're going to be able to play. 6 months. Okay. I don't want that because I was, before the World Cup, I could leave. I had the opportunity to sign contracts with other teams, you know. I respect it and I love Espanyol because I was 4 years happy there, and I didn't want to sign before the World Cup because I didn't want to have my mind, okay, I have to change. No, I want to perform, and at the end of the World Cup, I want to see what are the options, and I want to decide. So when this happened, of course, everything goes out. No. There was one was still, okay, maybe we signed you, but we don't know if you're going to come back better or good or worse. So I decided, okay, no worries. But I don't want to be, in my mind, I don't want to be 6 months out. Because if I'm 6 months out, that means that in next transfer window, which it will be in January, nobody will want me because I wouldn't play much. I was like, okay, he's just coming back from the injury. I was feeling like I was ready to take off and I was ready to a new step. So I set my mind, okay, and I was back at 3.5 months. So after they told me 6, because I was really hard on myself. I was really hard on my wife as well, because it was like, okay, just focus on myself, focus on my recovery, going twice a day, doing everything at home. It's like 24/7 working to get back to be able to play before the transfer market. And I did it. So that was like focusing. And at the end, I didn't go in January, but I had the chance. You know, I had offers and everything. And then I didn't take them, but I was happy and I was like, okay, I did it. I work on myself. I appreciate and I thank my wife still because she was next to me on that time. And it was hard for me, but at the end, it was mentally, I tried to overcome that by being like obsessed with work and obsessed with coming back before what they told me.
Yeah, and just for the listeners, these were big clubs, Barcelona, Manchester United. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, Hector.
No, it's no problem.
And the size of the clubs that were coming to you at that time. When you went to Pumas, to Alkmaar, the transition was really good. So you have to say the preparation you got in Mexico to aid in the transition to the Netherlands really was excellent.
Yeah, I was lucky that I went to Pumas because they helped me with the value that I was growing at home. They always help, you know, in Pumas they had this psychologist of people who help you with these kind of things, you know, to continue, because we are too young to be, if I look back now, and I'm only 15 years old to live in Culiacan, to play, to live in Ciudad de Mexico, in Mexico City, to, I don't know, you're too young to all these kind of new things and to all this big city. All it was like crazy to think back. And they always try to help me. They always try to support me. They always try to give me everything what I needed to even if I not succeed in football, I will be okay with my life. You know, I was studying. I was keep growing in a good environment. Let's say in the, as they call it, Casa Club. I don't know how you say, like a pension where all the foreign players, you know, where the people is always worried about how you live in there, how you are treating there, how they're treating you. So for me, it was like good. Of course, it was, they helped me a lot, but the transition to Holland, it was like, okay, it was completely off. It was complicated. It was difficult. And at the end, I could manage because I didn't speak not a word of English. I don't know why I signed in January, which was really cold. I was dying the first times I trained. I have signed in June, which will be better, but I signed in January. So it was different, but they helped me a lot. That's why every time I have the opportunity to thank Pumas and to say that I appreciate what they've done. I appreciate what I would like to go back there, because I have a lot of appreciation and love to this club, because they helped me, and they helped me to be the person that I mean. I'm not only talking about the footballer.
Right. Talking to Hector Moreno, this is such a great interview. Look, the Netherlands, Spain, you pick countries where the soccer culture is off the charts, just like Mexico, right? Everywhere you went to countries that, you know, the sport is primary. It's number one. It's the life of people. Just speak a little bit to playing in the Netherlands and then in Spain. Similar, different, and from your perspective as a center back, did you have to do things a little bit differently, maybe in the Netherlands, that you were asked to do in Spain, maybe?
Well, there is difference, because in the Netherlands you have a lot of young players. It's very young, the competition, because if one young player, talented player, is doing well, there will come a team from Spain, team from England, or team from Italy, and they will buy it. So that will never be like a top league. But I appreciate it, because you need that space for the young players to grow and to develop and to perform. So that's the main difference, that the experience that you have in the other competition, the other top leagues in Holland, you don't have, you know. So, but also the people is more patient. So they let you make mistakes. They are not so aggressive on you, you know. If you make me say, okay, this guy is young, okay, he will learn, okay, these kind of things, I think, is very important for the young player, no? Especially for us who come from America or South America or whatever, from other countries where you have to adapt for lifestyle and all these kind of things. So when I went to Spain, I knew, I understand that every mistake you make is a 99% goal against. So you have to be sharper, you have to be more concentrated, you have to be more clever, because the players are stronger, are faster, are better than in the Netherlands. So you have to grow as well as you, because they sign you for what you are when you are in the Netherlands. But you to be able to perform and to compete in Spain, let's say, you have to get better, you know, because you are this player, so you have to be this player. And I think for me, the opportunity, the my path, it was like I was joining teams with the style of playing from Holland, let's say offensive football. When I joined Espanyol, it was Pochettino, as I told you before, and he loved building up the game from the back. He loved offensive football. He loved pressing forward. All the same things that I used to do with Van Gaal in AZ or with Koeman when he was there. So for me, it was like these kind of things, it didn't change. So that what I'm trying to say is maybe that's why Espanyol wanted me, because they had this style of play. So I will adapt easier to what they wanted me to do, because I was doing it already in AZ.
The pressure in Spain, the minute you get there, you must feel it goes up from the Netherlands, right?
Yeah, it's totally different. It's totally like what I told you, you know, in the Netherlands, people is more patient. They understand that you might be young. They understand that you can make mistakes. But in Spain, everything is like bigger. Everything is like, people is more fanatic, let's say. But not only on the stadium, because I can tell people in Holland is really fanatic, but like the game day, you know, like during the game, they are really crazy supporting and everything. But the game is finished. Okay, you can live your life easily, normal, and like stay chill. In Spain, for me, it was like, okay, I went to Espanyol, but the neighbor is like huge. So for us, it was like not big pressure, because all the pressure in the city, Barcelona takes it, you know. And it's like, okay, we were like in the media, Barcelona was 20 pages and Espanyol only one or two. It was not that big pressure, but it was bigger than, of course, than the Netherlands. And of course, because they pay for me at the end, I had a tag already on my back, like a team that normally don't pay much. They pay for me, they pay for a center back, they pay for a Mexican center back, like these kind of things, they add something on the things that people expect from you. So that was the main reason, you know. And I had the first year, like a transition year to be able to understand that, because I was always the young one in the Netherlands. Everybody like, okay, he's making mistake, okay, come, they cuddle me, they don't worry, you will end up. In Spain, it was not time for that. It was time, okay, you are here to be, well, not leader, to yell at everybody, but leader on the way you behave, the way you train, the way you perform on the pitch, all these kind of things. You have to show that that's what we pay for you, you know, that's what we want from you. So it was like, it takes time. It took time for me. I hope I could have done earlier or faster, but it took time. And at the end, after when I realized that, I think it helped me during my whole career.
Like all Mexican players, do you feel a bigger responsibility when you go to Europe? You got to prove yourself. You got to be on the level of Hugo Sanchez, Pavel Pardo, all the guys, Rafa Marquez, all the guys that have come before. Do you feel that pressure as a Mexican player to make sure that you perform over there to earn respect? You know, you look at how long it's taken us in the United States to try and get respect from you guys in Mexico. It's taken decades. And I don't think we can play the game. But feel that extra, you know, did you feel that extra pressure to perform?
Gee, I think, yes, I felt, because there are many Mexicans. We were not many Mexicans in Europe. So all the spotlight, all the news, everything, it's on you. Where we were only, when I was there, we were 10, 11, or 12. It depends the year. We're changing a little bit. So when you don't play, it's like, okay, you are disappointed, your whole country, you know, because you're supposed to be playing. You're supposed to be the new star in my case. The new star, the new market, all these kind of things. It's not like that, you know. You have to enjoy. Sometimes we forgot to enjoy these things, and it's a lot of pressure. But it's cool. I like it. It's the thing that keeps me, that drives me. You know, it keeps me motivated. And it wants me to get better, to prove myself that I can do it. And at the end, it will prove that everybody that I'm capable to do these things. But I think it's a lot of pressure, which is good. It's good for everybody to have. And of course, I would like to have more Mexican players in Europe, so the pressure will divide. Instead of 10, okay, 30. If from this 30, 40, they don't play 10, they would tell more about the other 30 that they are playing, you know what I mean? It's like, but it's difficult. In Mexico, it's difficult to go. It's difficult to leave because of the owner. They have a lot of money. Also, sometimes the players, they don't want to leave what they have in Mexico. So it's a 50-50 responsibility, let's say. And also, I think sometimes we don't say much, or people don't say much about the passport. The European passport is something that really helps when you are there, you know, to find a club, to find accommodation, because it's only 3 foreign players that they can have most of the competition, most of the leagues. So normally they try to find top players, and from, not they don't want to take risk with young players, talented players, but from Mexico, from this kind of not proven soccer or football areas, you know.
Couple more questions. We're going to let you go, Hector. Thank you so much, and we'll make these.
Don't worry.
What was it like to play for Mauricio Pochettino?
It was very good. It was amazing, because what I told you, you know, I came from being the young guy to be able to compete in this amazing competition, which is the La Liga. I was able to play, like, when I moved there, to Messi, Ronaldo, Falcao, and his prime, all these kind of players. And with Pochettino, it was like everything that he wanted to, or we did, he did during the week preparation for the game. It was focusing, okay, we're going to play against Bilbao. Okay, Bilbao has Fernando Llorente. Okay, the whole week, focus on what kind of play it will be, like a game it will be against Llorente, you know. Okay, big guy, a strong guy, target man. Fuck, trying to fight long ball, trying to fight crosses, all these kind of things. So for me, it was like a good thing. Imagine when we play against Messi and Ronaldo, you know, the training that we had. It was like an amazing thing. It's like I admire Bielsa, and Mauricio is Bielsa's son, let's say, you know. He found him when he was in Rosario, and then he played always with him, and he learned a lot from him, the way he trains. So all these training sessions, that it was very, very good. It was very hard, because he loves to train hard, and it was a good time for me, you know, because I grew, I learned, and I was performing well as well.
All right, so how about some thoughts on Major League Soccer? Because I know a lot of people are going to be listening to this interview, because you've been linked kind of through the fans in Austin FC, But first off, just how about some general thoughts on the growth of Major League Soccer and the quality of play from Hector Moreno?
I think that the league is growing fast. I think that, okay, I think that the league is growing. If I speak with my teammates from the national team, with Carlos and Jonathan, they always say only good things about it. You know, like the stadium's more, it's always cool. Like the pre-show games, like what they do is like amazing. You know, like entertainment. It's like something very nice. Like the facilities from all the clubs like, are fantastic. Okay. We train in most of them when we go with the national team, so you can see like from Atlanta or Chicago or this kind of thing, you can see how they guess and how they are creating something very nice, you know. And I think that the league is growing. Of course, they have their difficulties with the cap salary, all these kind of things that they have, but they want to control and they keep controlling everything. I think because in Mexico it's always the discussion, okay, is MLS better or Liga MX better? No, it's like both leagues, they have their own good things, bad things and something, but I respect and I have a lot of admiration for MLS right now, because they are, I think they are doing the right thing. Many things too, because I'm not a sporting director or something like this, or owner of the club to say, okay, this is doing wrong. But many things to improve, but a lot of things to be happy and to be proud, because I think the most important thing is that the fans, what I can tell, is start showing more in the stadiums, and that's what football is like. You know, the life, the atmosphere in the stadiums are getting better by time, and so it's amazing. All the nice stadium, all the new stadiums that they are building, it's amazing. When you talk about now Austin, and back in the day, I saw the tweet when they were start building the stadium, where they show what they're gonna build, and I like it so much, you know. So what I wouldn't like this tweet, you know, because it's something amazing what they're doing, you know. They're building big stadiums, big in nice cities, and so I think it's something very nice for the football. And I don't know, because now they're talking also maybe they're gonna mix Liga MX and I don't know if that will happen. It will be very difficult because of the flight time and all these kind of things. But if it happens, I think it will be cool. It will be nice to try and to see what's going to be. Otherwise, with the competition they have already with CONCACAF Champions or this kind of game they have, it will be nice.
Yeah, you're talking about a proposed Mexican U.S. or MLS Super League, and then Mexican.
I hear something about that, but I don't know if it's true or not yet.
But the two countries are closer together, which leads me to the obvious next question. And we're talking to Hector Moreno, who's now playing in Qatar with Al-Gharafa, but has played in Spain with Espanyol, has played with PSV, Roma, Real Sociedad, obviously three World Cups for Mexico. Would you play in MLS? Is this something that interests you in the future?
Yeah, of course. I'm interested. I always, that's true. Yeah, you know, I always try to say that, you know, I think it's, as I told you, it's a competition that is growing. It's a competition that is showing interest from all over the world, you know, and I think the quality of life from USA, like, as I told you, I go back, I never lived there, but if I speak with Carlos, with Jonathan, with Gio when he was there, or now with Chicha, they always tell me only nice and good things about the lifestyle and the MLS and the club itself. So, of course, if you get only good things about it, you hear only good things about it, of course, you would like to try. And I will see in the future, you know, I always try. I have contract here, and it's, I don't want to disrespect or something to say, okay, yes, I want to go. Of course, I'm okay here. I'm happy here. But always there is the possibility that someday I will play there for sure. Of course, if they want me, that's the other thing, you know.
I can tell you, there's some fans that would like you to be here. I'll go on record as saying that. Have you ever had any contact from the league, or has your agent ever said, hey, Hector, consider Major League Soccer?
A few times when I was in Spain, and one time when I was, I don't like to say club, of course, but I had the talks and have opportunity to go there, but it was not the time, of course. And I always have the open door for everybody who wants to talk with me about going back. You know, every time I left a club, I left with contract, but always in a good way. You know, I never tried to do anything in a bad way, or because I want to be able to come back to that club one day and to shake the hands and to have friends there. You know, and like I always, because in that the times that happened, these kind of things, it was the best for everybody involved. You know, for me, for the club, and for the club that wanted me. So I'm always open. I will never close the door. As I always say, when they call me from Mexico, right now it's not the time, but thank you for the call and thank you for the interest, and we want to speak soon in the future. So it's the same with the MLS. Lately I haven't spoken with no one. I haven't talked with nobody from the MLS. I don't, maybe because they know that I have a contract and I just signed here, you know. It's like it will be like too soon to call me like in the last January when I was only 6 months here.
Hector, listen, thank you so much. You gave me a lot of time here. We really appreciate it. I know our listeners, both fans of the Mexican national team, but you as a soccer player, with all the great clubs you've played on and all the World Cups, will be very thankful that you did this interview. So thank you very much for all this great time. And let me let you get back to being with your wonderful family.
Thank you so much, Glenn. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Hector.